an encouragement to my heart, and it really struck me today. And I don't ever like to point too many people out and different things, but, you know, I'm excited about many things that the Lord gives us in type and shadow in our lives. And I've mentioned a lot of times about weddings and ceremonies and different things that we have here in the meeting. And we've had brides run down the hall and jump almost into their husband, you know, the husband-to-be's arms, you know, and it didn't matter how she looked or whatever or how she appeared to everybody else. She just wanted to be married. You know, she wanted her husband. And we've seen lots of different things like that. Well, it's been sweet because if the Lord tarry, God willing, I'll have a daughter in about a year. And I love her dearly. And it's been sweet because it's been exciting about all the things about preparing for a wedding. And sometimes it exhausts the daddy here, so I have to go lay down. But they keep going on. And one of the things that's a real treat is the wedding dress. And it's just amazing. And it's got to be, you know, the exact right one. And then the fit and all these different things. But I hope you understand where we're at tonight and where we've been for actually quite some weeks. We're talking about that new Jerusalem, the bride adorned, descending from heaven, having the glory of God and her light. And she's lit up and she's adorned. Praise the Lord. Her gown is the righteousness of saints. And that's what we have been studying and started to get into last week, are the jewels, praise God, of the city. They've spoken of his walls. And that's why I had brought this out. And we've been studying that the outward structure of that city, which has been so amazing, as we've seen, whether it's the walls, the gates, the foundation, it's all been speaking of Israel, all been speaking specifically of the 12 tribes. And we've seen how in the Old Testament it was set up perfect. As that tabernacle was set in the wilderness, how the Lord would put those tribes, three each, on each side of that tabernacle. And they were in an exact order. And there was no way to get into the presence of God unless you would go through the camp, go through Israel to get into the tabernacle. Well, it's the same way with the New Jerusalem. Everything on that outward structure is Israel. The inside, the magnificent of it, yes, is the bride adorned, and obviously her bridegroom, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we're so thankful that she is adorned, hallelujah, with Israel, with all of these jewels. And we've been studying, as of last week, this right here was the breastplate of judgment that was worn by the high priest at the time of Israel. And you can see that there's three rows of stones. And each one of those stones would represent one of the tribes. And they were all precious stones, most precious. And it was sweet because as that high priest would wear it, notice what it would cover, and it would be so close to the heart. And that would be brought out and worn and cherished, and again in type and shadow of the heart and the closeness of Israel so sweetly to the Lord. Now, these same stones were seen in this city, and we're beginning to study them. And I have to tell you, as the Lord sits me down, the perfection of the Word of God is so beyond. It just is stunning. You sit there and you go, oh my goodness, every order, every piece, every stone, how it's revealed in the Old Testament, type and shadow, and then how it moves into the New Testament. It's incredible. So once again, this is, you know, we're going to study some details tonight. And I'll tell you what, I've been praying all the time on some of these studies. Lord, don't let us go so deep the bubble doesn't come up. And I mean that, you know, don't be drowning out there, you know. But there's such beauty in the details. There's such glory. But let's not forget, in a sense, stepping back and looking at the forest and what we're looking at here and what we're rejoicing about. By the grace of God, I'm rejoicing about my wedding dress. And I'll tell you what, I've seen a young lady that she's been pretty rejoicing about a wedding dress here. So I'm getting encouraged, praise God, of a wedding dress that's for me, all by the grace of God that he's preparing. Now, As you see these stones, these are all precious stones. But in Peter, 2 Peter, I believe, chapter 1, maybe chapter 2, but it talks about that we have been made lively stones. And it says lively stones to build up a spiritual house for him. Now, praise God, that's not just for someday, but in its fullness and its radiance, these lively stones, praise God, will be on full display as the garments and the adornment, praise the Lord, of the Lamb's wife, that new city. So, last week we began to venture into the 12 stones of the foundation walls. There were 12 foundations on those of the city. Now, that was the adornment of the bride. The city, as we saw, transparent gold. If you will, a cube, a perfect cube. But such a huge cube, if you multiplied the dimensions of that city, 3.3 billion cubic miles. And not that that could contain anything of God, but yet that's the perfection of what the Lord has for this city that will descend. Transparent gold, all of these different precious stones. But how glorious. We've talked about many things in that tabernacle in the wilderness. You know, the one thing that stands out truly is the perfect cube that is in the tabernacle was the Holy of Holies. Perfect in height, width, depth, every dimension was the perfect cube. You talk about the Holy of Holies coming down. What was in the Holy of Holies? The presence of God and the cherubim. Basically, the husband and wife. And here they come. And that's what's so beautiful. Again, and brothers and sisters, I just tell you this. It's so incredible. But yet, once again, we are just looking at the glass darkly. What this will be. What all of this will, the layers in here. Amazing. So, as we get into these 12 the foundations of the city, and we talk about the jewels that are in each of the foundations, we also saw that the names of the apostles were written in those foundations. Now, some will like to say, well, those foundations are the apostles. Well, we're talking about the walls of the foundation, and we'll see very clearly that the walls of the foundation, being in the types of those jewels, that once again is Israel. We noticed and we rejoiced that the reason that the names of the apostles were written in the foundation was as that city comes down and it will basically hover and be enjoined with the new earth. What was the connection, if you remember, and just to think about again, the connection of those apostles to the church? They were truly the first ministers of the church. They were the first ones that went out and after Pentecost began to minister the word of God. That was the connection that they had. But we know that the word of God tells us that the 12 apostles or the 12 disciples will reign upon 12 thrones over the 12 tribes of Israel, and they will reign upon that new earth. All right, so we understand that this new Jerusalem that comes descending from heaven, that is the church. The three companies that we know that are represented in the church, we have the bride, we have the innumerable multitude, and we have the 144,000. That is what we see descending from heaven, that wondrous new Jerusalem with its focal point, the fulcrum of it all, being the bride, the Lamb's wife, which is so awesome. All right. So, as we go on here, let's go ahead and read verses 18 through 20. Revelation 21. And the building of the wall, it was of jasper. The city was like pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second was sapphire, the third was chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophrasus, the 11th jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. We'll stop right there for tonight because I'll tell you, we're going to be chewing a long time. All right. Last week we talked about that first vision. If you go back to the 13th verse, we see how John sees the city. He sees the east, then he speaks of the north, then he talks of the south, and then he speaks of the west. We refer this back to Ezekiel chapter 48, because in Ezekiel, we also see that Ezekiel has a vision of this city. But he's seeing the city from the new earth, as opposed to as we see this vision of the New Jerusalem from heaven. All right? So there's a difference there. But each one of these visions of each side of the wall, each one of them has three stones. It's just like each side of the tabernacle had three tribes. And we've seen how perfectly in that first vision of the east wall, those first three stones, jasper, sapphire, chalcedony, those were the stones of Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin. Now you'd think again, at that time Israel in the wilderness, those were the little tribes. Those were Jacob, these were two of Jacob's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And then Benjamin was Joseph's little brother. So again, Joseph had those two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, and then there was Benjamin. And they were even in a different location. Matter of fact, they were on the west side. They weren't on the east side. The east side was the entrance into the tabernacle. But now we see that these things have been moved around a little bit. But the tribes are still together in that same order. And the stones are in the same order. But here's the beautiful thing about it. The stones, though, are changed as far as where you see them and in their preference and in their light, how one star differeth from another in glory. These first three stones that we saw that represented those first three tribes of Ephraim, Manasseh, Benjamin, the jasper, the sapphire, the chalcedony, those were the heirs, once again, of Joseph and Rachel. Think about as we go on in the history of the Lord and the history of where the power of God rested. The choice ones were of Joseph, of Jacob, of Rachel. That was that choice. Those were God's, that was God's first, and if you will, the first choice. Those were the preferred, the bridal encouragement, once again, right off the bat, shown to us in the walls of New Jerusalem. One thing I didn't bring out, which I appreciate with Brother Scott, because he gets a lot of those books that give you headaches. And, he's cerebral that way. You know, they used to buy me books and I ate the pages. But what happens is he gets these gemology books and they're really cool. They really are. But really, it's such big words in them, it just hurts. But it was sweet because he actually helped me because he marked the pages that I should read, which he knew that was going to be hard for me to find it anyways. But in looking at those first three gemstones, these gemstones are charted out in how hard they are and how valuable they are. The harder a stone is, the more valuable it is, typically, and you know, most of the time. And in this case, it exactly follows that chart. The very most valuable stone, the hardest stone that we have on this chart, is the diamond. We see that in the jasper, the very first stone that we see, the hardest stone, the most valuable. Then comes the sapphire, then the chalcedony. So we see right off the bat that the most valuable, those hardest stones, and you think the hardest stones, you know what they come from? Pressure. Remember what we talked about pressure was? Pain. No, if you were here, see, you got to come Sundays too. It kind of all comes together. But when a doctor says pressure, that means pain. Okay. So it comes from pressure. And that's how things are developed in our lives. And brothers and sisters, we know this. And we're going to be tried because as we rejoiced on Sunday, he's a fiery God. And he wants us lit up for him. And that's going to come one way. And that's going to come through the fire. And so thankful to God, we know that we're always in his hand in that fire. It's always him that brings us to any fire there is. But that's going to be done in the fire. So, once again, we see that these first three were of Rachel and Joseph, and those were the preferred. So now let's go ahead and examine the next three. The next three children are not from Rachel. The next three are from Leah. You remember the story of Jacob. Remember he goes to see Laban. And as he sees Laban, he falls in love with Rachel. And so there's the deal. Okay. Laban says, I got him now. 7 years, son. You work for me 7 years, I'll give you her. So there he goes. 7 years he works. And so they have the wedding. They have the veil. And he hides who he's marrying. And the morning he wakes up, this ain't Rachel. This is Leah. You gave me the older sister. And he says, well, how could I have given you the younger one? The older one wasn't married yet. Laban says, but I got a deal for you. Work for me another 7 years, and you got another one. And there wasn't a hesitation. There wasn't a fuss that you read about. And matter of fact, it says in the Word of God that that next 7 years was but a few days. See, when you're in love, you'll wait. See, there's so much power in waiting for the choice one. Even though you think about that, some guy coming like that, man, I don't even want to say it, but you know, would tear him up. Oh, really? Okay, let me show you something behind my car. You know, and you would. You know how that is. I'm just telling you the truth. But he was so in love that it was but a few days. But now we get to Leah, and this is, again, the order of the offspring. The very first three, that was of Rachel, the choice one. So now we go to the next three. Here we are. These are Leah's sons, the second choice. And think about that again. Many daughters have done virtuously, but only Rachel was the one. Ask Jacob, right? He got a wife, but there was one he wanted. He wanted Rachel. Praise God. Now, these next three are positioned on the north. The stones are, as we read here, the emerald, sardonyx, and the sardis. They represent the tribes of Reuben, Judah, and Levi. Now, we talked about this last week. Some people say, well, wait a second. Levi, the tribe of Levi, was not positioned around the three. Because the tribe of Levi were the priests that had to take care of the stuff that was going on inside the tabernacle. But what happened? The great high priest has come. There's no need for that sacrifice anymore. He did it once and for all. And he's entered in, praise God. And so that tribe of Levi is right back where it needs to be because the high priest has entered in and we're finished there. But let's go ahead and examine the second of these three tribes here and the meaning of these stones, just like we started last week. And those first three stones we talked about, the diamond and the sapphire and all, those represented so much the bridal type, because it was the first choice. So much reference to the bride. Now we're going to see such reference to Jesus Christ as we go on here in these next three. They're all about him. The stone of emerald. The emerald stone is the tribe of Judah. And that emerald stone is green. Green speaks of the everlasting life. And again, how appropriate, this is the tribe of our Lord, the Lion of Judah, that gave us that wonderful, everlasting, his very life. Next you have is the sardonyx. That is the stone of the tribe of Levi. It's a reddish stone. Its meaning is the nail of a finger. Isn't that interesting? The nail of a finger. Well, that represents Jesus' humanity. It's his humanity. It's just so beautiful. The Lamb of God will be on display forever. His humanity, praise God, will always be on display. How do they see him? As a lamb slain. He had to become a man to die. Amen? Very God of very God. But he had to be made man, one of us, to die. And he gave himself. He gave up the ghost. Hallelujah. This wonderful humanity. And we thank the Lord that he offered himself once and for all. Now, finally, this sardis, that is the tribe of Reuben. It's a red stone. Its meaning is all things are new or changeless. Praise God. He's Alpha, Omega, beginning end. Praise the Lord. How powerful again in the positioning of the stones. You'll go back again to Ezekiel. It'll even, in the 48th chapter, it talks about the actual tribes. It doesn't speak of the stones, but the stones pattern exactly in that order of those tribes, even in Ezekiel 48. Nothing's missing in the Word of God is what I'm telling you. You go back, and I'm telling you, absolutely, before the Lord, I did not go back to Ezekiel 48 when I started studying the stones. I knew that was there. But the Holy Spirit was dealing with me. He wanted me to do this first. He wanted me to do this first and to bring this forward in my life to come back and say, oh my goodness, Lord, it's perfect. Absolutely perfect. I knew that section of the 48th chapter, but I didn't remember, okay, it's in this order and blah, 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 blah. No, I'm not that smart. And I thank God I'm not going to lie to you either. But praise God. It's impossible for him to lie, and he's a perfect God. And it is absolutely perfect in its order. So, I'll come back now and we'll go to the next one. All right, so now we go to the south wall. Now, the south wall, we have the next three sons of Leah. She had six sons. We had the first three, now here's the next three. And they're on the south side. Those other ones were on the north, here we're on the south. They're the crystallite, the beryl, and the topaz. Let's talk about the crystallite. First of all, that is, in ancient times, was a yellow, green sapphire. So these are all very precious stones, but it's a type of sapphire that's not as valuable in type as the first sapphire that we saw in the type of Manasseh. But this chrysolite is the tribe of Issachar. This Issachar name means he will bring a reward. Also means the glory of the resurrection will show. I was thankful thinking about Issachar. That was the tribe that really backed the prophetess Deborah. And it was very sweet to see them stand for the word of God. And I think how sweetly, when we stand for the word of God, brothers and sisters, the resurrection will show. The power of his resurrection. See, when we don't stand for the word of God, let me tell you something. There's no power of the resurrection in our life. We stand in the things of God by his grace. Let me tell you something. You live power. You live mighty power. Oh, you're going to be persecuted. They didn't love me. They're not going to love you. They hated me. They're going to hate you. But you know what? There's power. Yeah, praise God. And know that. Know that how the word not just backs you, but it's in you. It's for you. It's your life. That's how you live. You don't live by fear. You live by the perfect love of God, which is the word of his grace. The promises of God are yea and amen, and they're your promises. Hallelujah. Abide in them. Rejoice. Praise God. And remember this, your God cannot lie. He cannot lie. Believe him. Believe him. You'll be so glad you do, not just did. But do by the grace of God, because he will show you in due time. He'll exalt you in due time. But get the rejoicing while you're waiting. Amen. Don't miss the best part. That's the double portion, praise God, is to believe him in the waiting. Hallelujah. Now, the next stone is the beryl. That's the tribe of Zebulun. The tribe of Zebulun, think of this, had more warriors in David's army than any other tribe. Isn't that something? Never knew that. Just kind of rejoicing and reading some different things of that, but more warriors for David's army came out of the tribe of Zebulun than any other tribe. And you know what it speaks of, that name Zebulun? It means separation, devotion, and loyalty. You become a warrior, don't you? Hallelujah. When you go into God's army, you fight. And you fight the good fight of faith. And he teaches your hands to war. I love that. Oh, I rejoice. I'm just praying again. Just thank you, God. Teach my hands to war. I'm not trying to say to hit you, but this is how you, your hands of war. You lift them up and you praise him. Hallelujah. You thank God. I'll tell you, I'm grateful to God. I've seen it many times, many lives. Thank God. I've even lived it myself. When these hands go up, devil's got to flee. Devil's got to flee. Can't be there. He cannot take that stuff. Wipes him right out. And I thank the Lord how it turns the battle. Remember, they lifted our brother's arms up and they kept him up. And as long as those hands were up and he was praising God, Israel profited in the battle. Anytime those arms came down, they started to get defeated. That's why the brethren on each side, well, let's lift them up and hold them up. Amen. Praise God. So get in tune. Get in tune with the Word of God. It's not a silly story. It's your life. Amen. I think about Solomon, that precious man. He was one of the first ones that talked about praying, lifting his hands. The power that Solomon had, the heart of God that he had. But that was just for a time and a season. Then it doesn't speak of his lifted hands anymore. You know what it spoke of? That he started listening and entering in to other gods. The thoughts of other gods. The people that didn't love his Lord. And he entangled himself with them. And at the end of his life, all he could say was, oh, vanity of vanity, I missed it. Oh, by the grace of God, let us take note. Be awake. But this precious Zebulun, they were separated, devoted, loyal. This beryl is a white stone. The hands of the beloved, of the Song of Solomon, that husband, those hands were white. It was so wonderful. That was the white stone. And I was thinking about those hands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we put our hand in his hand, I'll tell you what, he's going to separate you. He's going to take you out. You go unto him without the camp. And when he leads you, when his word leads you, when his hands lead you, you'll become devoted. You can't be devoted unless you put your hand in his hand. Amen? The hands of the Word of God. Know that for your life. And he'll separate you. He'll take you on. He'll take you out. Praise God. Out from among that camp. Then finally of this last three of Leah's line is the topaz. It's yellow-green. Simeon. That name means God shall wipe away the tears. I love how Brother Smith said it. The exciting life of Christ. And how exciting it is when he wipes your tears away. Amen. There's an innumerable multitude that's going to come out. They're going to miss a trump. And it says that the tear must be wiped from their eyes. You think they're going to be happy at that moment that they have that tear wiped from their eyes? You know it. What an exciting time, praise God. But I have the excitement right now that the Lord wipes my tears away right now. Just like David. He said, oh man, my pillow's a sea. I'm drowning. But he said, but the Lord bottles up every one of my tears. He loves you like that. He knows you, and boy, does he care. Praise be to God. Okay, so we've seen the three sons of Rachel. We've seen the six sons of Leah. So we got three more to go here. And we come to the west side. Now remember, everything's been turned around. Because remember, who was on the west side? Those are the very first three that we talked about. Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin. Now they've been switched. They went to the east, and now here we go. These ones get rotated back to the west. Here we go into these last three tribes. Now, these last three tribes, their moms were the two handmaids of Leah and Rachel. And these three sons were Gad, Asher, and Naphtali. And the first stone is the Chrysophrasis. And the Chrysophrasis stone is the stone of Asher. Asher's name means dedicated, valuable to Christ, a yellowish green. Zilpah, the handmaid, was Asher's mom. His name means happy and blessed. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Can you imagine that the handmaid's son could be happy and blessed? Huh? Come on now. Jacob prophesied about the tribe of Asher in Genesis 49:20. It said Asher would eat rich food, and the region that Asher and his tribe possessed was the region of the finest olives, which speaks of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Think about that. Happy and blessed, those are the people that are full of the Holy Ghost. How wonderful. See, you're not forgotten. Those handmaids weren't forgotten. We're going to talk about how the Lord, boy, you talk about remembrance. There isn't anyone who remembers his love like the Lord does, praise God. Now, the next stone is the jacinth, and that's the stone of Gad. Little is said of Gad, but his name means a fortune. A fortune. Hardly anything said of Gad. I think a lot of folks would say, wow, I didn't even think that was one of the 12 tribes. Well, wait till you have 12 siblings. Start calling you Snoopy. You know, a lot of different things, huh? So, I've got two sons and you can't remember mine. But Gad means fortune. Nothing with God is not blessed beyond man's comprehension. Nothing with God is not blessed beyond man's comprehension. His name means fortune. And no wonder the jacinth stone is either deep purple or deep blue. The color of royalty. Isn't that wonderful? You see? And let's step back again. This is the adornment. This is her gown. Hallelujah. The righteousness of saints. This is it. And how we rejoice. And then finally, the last one we have is the amethyst. This is Naphtali's stone. This is the son of Bilhah. Naphtali, here we go. All these wonderful meanings of all these names. Here we get to Naphtali. Poor Naphtali. His name means wrestling. Yep, he's a wrestler. Well, maybe that's why he's mentioned last. What do you think? But the amethyst is another purple stone. So I would say this. It's royalty, no matter where in the line, of the children of the king. No matter where in the line, it's royalty. So, as we get through all of those, I want to make one note tonight. Because I know this was a lot of depth of information, and I appreciate it. Sometimes we have these things. We're going to break out here into the streets of gold, and I know you'll be dancing here on a Wednesday night soon. But your dance step will even be greater as you receive these things, and it really will be, I thank God. But on a final note, as I mentioned back in Ezekiel 48, the visions of the tribes from Ezekiel seeing this was seeing it from the new earth. Whereas John is seeing this from New Jerusalem. So there's a difference in how these visions of these tribes are seen. The stones are still perfectly the same. Everything is beautiful. But you think about it. I'm looking at something up. Somebody else is looking something down. But we're also seeing this from Ezekiel in Ezekiel 48. He's looking at the 12 tribes that are on the new earth as opposed to the 12 tribes that are part of the 144,000. So you have to remember this. There's a difference here. The 144,000 are also known as what? The five wise virgins. Getting out there. So stay on this. We know these things. The five wise virgins are the ones that go to the wedding ceremony. They go to that wedding feast, I should say. The wedding feast. Those are the five wise. That's the 144,000. They're part of the church. The five foolish virgins are the ones that go on through or die after that in the tribulation, that live on through as the earth dwellers into the millennial time. Those are and will be of the nations, or those 12 tribes that will be on the earth. All right? So you're going to have the Jewish nations on earth, on the new earth. You're also going to see those Jewish nations in the 144,000. All right? It's not hard. It's just, there's a lot there, though. But line up on line, and line up on line, and line up on line, and we'll go again. Line up on line, and line up on line, and line up on line. We'll get this. Praise God. Because it's so beautiful to see. The reason I'm going with this is because we've kind of been talking a lot about Dan and how Dan went after idols, that tribe. And he was basically replaced. And his inheritance was given over to that of the line of Joseph to Manasseh and his son. The son of Manasseh took that. Now, and Ephraim, I should say, as well. Now, I want you to notice this. Samson was of the tribe of Dan. Remember the story about Samson? Started off real well, didn't he? But then there was a crashing and burning. But how the Lord restored him. Amen. He didn't forget him in that prison, did he? He didn't forget him when he was blinded and his eyes were poked out, did he? And the encouragement of the grace of God and the mercy of the Lord came upon Samson. And what did he do? He said, "Oh Lord, strengthen me. Let this be to your glory." And he told those men, he said, "Oh, you put my hand on this pillar and you put me on that." And all those Philistines went down that day. But the greatest thing about Samson's life is you'll find him in Hebrews chapter 13. The worthies of faith, the full overcomers in the Old Testament. Can you imagine that? Why do I say that? Because Dan, the tribe of Dan, is not forgotten. In Ezekiel, when he sees the 12 tribes on the new earth, the tribe of Dan is mentioned in that vision. Isn't he wonderful? He's marvelous. There's none left out. He will in no wise cast you out. His love, praise God, and his promises. And see, this is why I said, take this for our lives, brothers and sisters. Because, you know, we do. We make some mistakes. And we've gone after idols before. And we do. And an idol is anything that gets before you and the first love. That's idolatry. To us, by God's grace, who have been called to the Philadelphia church, our mark is for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's given it to you. But thanks be to God. Sometimes the most biggest advances of grace and mercy when we grow in our lives is when we did not believe and got down and said, "Oh Jesus, but you abide faithful." Amen. So I thank God not one of them was left out. Not even old Dan. Praise God. What an inheritance. And those stones and those jewels. Oh, those lively stones to him. What a spiritual house to God. And I tell you, if the Lord tarry, we'll get even a little bit more excited about what's to come. Because there's some interaction going on that we're going to start reading of between that new Jerusalem that's sitting over the new earth and all the glory that's brought into there. The streets of gold. Oh my, the crystal sea. But my, oh my, there is a river of living water that runs from the throne. Thank him that you're drinking of it right now. Because you drink of that living water right now, you know where you're going to end up? Right in the midst of the throne. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed. Thank you, Jesus.